talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marian way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club. And we'll guess and goof and talk on exchange, read, debate, and think it's exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today, the Exchange Club.
And here we go. It's a Getaway Friday, Friday, March the 29th, 2024. Good Friday, actually, 16 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio by Pastor Craig and Matt Morgan. And I should mention tonight, Carrington will be back. She is back from her vacation. So she'll be on tonight with us from 8:15 to 10. And then Matt's on tonight with his show, third week in a row, 10:15 until 11. What's on the agenda tonight, Matt?
So tonight, me and my brother are probably going to talk about fantasy football a bit. I'm going to talk about who I think probably going to be good to draft. We're going to talk a little bit about the draft, even though I don't know much about college football, but Caleb's been watching a lot of stuff.
He came in with a laptop last week. I was impressed.
Yeah. Wow. He had a list of...
He wants a job.
He does. He's looking for work. He's got the bug.
Yeah, but he came in with a laptop last week with some of the free agency moves on it, so we could discuss that.
It's a good show, though, and I told you off the air last week, Pastor Craig called me the day after you did that first show, and you said?
I was like totally impressed. I mean, you guys just ran with it. You seemed like you were in your element. He was there. I mean, it was great. It was great.
Football is probably the thing I know the most about.
And that's why it shows. It comes off that way. Yep. And that's the way it goes. Next hour, Pastor Craig, what's coming up?
I'm having a guest. We might have two guests. We're going to be talking about Good Friday and Easter and that type of thing.
And just to wrap this up, because you weren't with us last week, but you were here with us through all the stories, what'd you make of the election results?
I guess no real surprises.
Kerr Murray going away here in Marion, finishing dead last in his race?
I guess that would be a surprise. Yes,
that was the one that...
That would be a surprise, yes. I take that back. Yeah, that would be a surprise.
But all the others,
I thought,
business as usual.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Now as we're prepped for the fall...
Can I say...
Go ahead.
And just one thing, you know, there was... I had Tracy Richardson on my show, but we didn't talk necessarily too much about the politics. You had Tracy Richardson specifically talking about that race, and I found it kind of interesting because, honestly, I thought maybe her challenger was going to give her a good run for her money, but...
20% difference.
Tracy, you know, came one big.
Yeah. It's interesting to me. I think Kerr Murray was the only incumbent who did not hold on, but didn't hold on to a great degree. And I still am not exactly sure if that was age, because he is 82. I don't know if that was him personally. I really still don't know what to chalk that up to, unless maybe Davidson being a deputy sheriff played well.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I was going to ask you what you did.
That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, Davidson had been the deputy sheriff, and clearly... Bill Collins rode deputy sheriff into the mayor's office and being chief of police. And
well, I mean, people love that that law enforcement or military background. We do it with the presidents, too.
But the thing is, it's not like nobody had heard of Kerr.
No, he'd been there for 8 years.
So he had a record, a reputation. He had name recognition.
But he certainly hadn't served as long as Apfelder, and Apfelder won his primary. So... I don't know. I don't know if Schauber split that vote in some way between he and Kerr because they were the longer-term Republican office holders. Mm-hmm. Here you have two office holders and one guy who's not, and the one guy who's not is who wins. Maybe that was it.
Maybe.
Something played in that race.
Right.
Especially for Kerr. Well, and Schauber, I don't know exactly what he spent, but Schauber... certainly had a billboard on Mount Vernon Avenue. I don't think those are cheap, and I know he knocked a lot of doors, and I know Davidson did as well. I didn't see a whole lot of Kerr Murray out there.
Maybe he had a less visible campaign, and maybe that affected it.
And maybe that did. So that's the elections. Now we go into the fall, and it's very interesting because basically we've got three races. We've got Gebhardt, the Republican, against Davis, I believe the Democrat for the treasurer's race, county treasurer, the only Democrat running in the fall at this particular point. That's an open position because of a retirement, so there's no incumbent there. Then we've got, for judge, we've got the independent, the incumbent, Judge Edwards, who will be running against Todd Anderson. And then we've got Ray Grogan, the incumbent prosecutor, running against Jen Ryan, who is an independent.
Now,
so more independents than Democrats.
Now, the one running against Edwards.
Yes.
Todd
Anderson.
What's his background? Because that's not
politically.
Politically
Republican.
That's not a name that I recognize.
Republican, but for judicial races, those things are not on the ballot. Political party. So I don't think that'll hurt.
What's his experiences politically? Has he had?
I think just lawyer.
Okay, because like I said, I didn't even recognize a name, so he hadn't had any office here.
Not that I'm aware of, okay. But I think lawyer at this point. But so we'll see what happens as we go into the fall. We know how big turnout because it's a presidential year, and
right.
That is what it is. Now, let's see here. Good Friday. Let's touch on this. What is Good Friday for people who don't understand, and why is it called Good Friday, which people find confusing?
Well, I should know the reason that it's called Good Friday. I'm not sure. Haven't done my homework on that. I remember being told as a child that originally it was God's Friday, and it was called God's Friday, and over the years that came to Good Friday. I'll be honest and say I just remember being told that when I was a child, and so I just never really thought about looking into it. But basically, the whole reason that it's celebrated is because it was the day of Christ's crucifixion, and that's why it was celebrated, because he made the sacrifice for people who so they could have their sins forgiven. So that's the reason that It was always celebrated as a holiday.
And I think that's the reason people look at it in an odd way, is just because it was the day of the crucifixion.
Right.
And most people wouldn't think the day of the death was good.
Right. Well,
so... I looked it up. I figured we
should... Googled.
That's all you have to do.
I figured we should get the answers,
okay. So what did Google say?
Apparently there's no real good answer as to why it's called Good Friday, but you are right, so... good in Old English meant holy, so I mean good Friday, like Holy Friday, but also it said that God's Friday, it was also on there, but it said that they don't use the God's Friday because it's a way for, like, I don't remember exactly how it was phrased on the thing, but basically it was for people who didn't believe in God, so they didn't have a God's Friday.
Okay.
Oh, well, there you go.
Speaking of, it seems kind of strange to celebrate, a crucifixion, but it's the reason for the crucifixion that it's celebrated. But also, this is very big in the Roman Catholic Church, and it has been traditionally. As a matter of fact, the crosses that you have hanging in the Roman Catholic Church are a crucifix. They show on their cross the body of Christ. Now, the Protestants and the Evangelicals kind of take a different view. You won't see, a body of Christ on our cross. It's an empty cross. It's an empty cross because Christ has risen, and that's what, Sundays, Easter is celebrated for the resurrection or the risen Christ. And so there tends to be more emphasis put on the importance of Easter Sunday, of the resurrection Sunday, than on Good Friday. Many Protestant churches don't even have like a Good Friday celebration or a Good Friday service. Some do, but not many do. But, traditionally the Catholic Church always has something on Good Friday.
And we wish everybody a Good Friday and a very happy Easter this coming Sunday. Let's talk about the city.
Oh.
Because I got all the numbers here. We had an interview with Miranda McGinnis.
I go out of town for 10 days and it falls apart.
And it's interesting because how many weeks did we go saying Nothing's going on. It's awful quiet down there.
I know.
Well, yeah, it was quiet.
It was so quiet.
It was quiet. A lot of stuff going on down there.
No more.
3 hours and 25 meetings. 25 minutes city council meeting on Monday.
And you stayed to the very end.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
We were one of the last ones on that ship on Monday because most people were gone.
There were quite a few people who showed up, but yeah,
by the end, it was over.
Like, you know, every so often you just see a group of people get up and leave. And
once it got past 2 hours, then it was just about every 15 minutes some people just said, time to go.
And then eventually it got to a point.
No breaks.
No intermission.
Yeah, no intermission.
Nope.
Couldn't go out to the lobby and get popcorn.
Nope. 325 solid. They're going to have to revoke that rule about not having pop and drink in there, food and drink, because that's ridiculous.
So what time? It starts at 7?
6:30.
6:30.
Wow.
9:55 was when we wrapped up.
So 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
Good stuff.
Long night.
Yeah.
The auditor, there's really not much to say there at this particular point. I mean, they went after her again for the same things they've been going after her
basically
for.
Basically nothing new.
No.
It's the same old, same old.
No. And we're still waiting on Ray Grogan to see if anything will come of that. But what we did learn that was new, let's start with Scherzer Park. Because we didn't talk a whole lot about this last week. Mayor Scherzer did his first post office interview with us last week, and I asked him about this Scherzer Park issue, and he said he was told first about the administrative park thing, that that's one of the two administrative parks in Marion. So the Parks Department did not have the right to change the name. He said the Parks Department has always taken care of that park, so he didn't believe that. And then he was told that on Google Maps it says Founders Park, so that would confuse people. So he said he pulled out his phone right then and Googled it. It says Scherzer Park, and it still says Scherzer Park on Google Map. So that didn't hold any water. So he said it was petty. He said it was political, but he doesn't take it personally. So Jason Schauber said this morning it is an administrative park. City Council didn't change the name. The Parks Department didn't change the name back, but they paid $1,134 for the new Founders Park sign and $75 to install it. So there you go. What do you make of the story of Scherzer Park, which is once again Founders Park?
Well, listening to Jason Schauber this morning, the way he explained it was that the people that did change the name to Scherzer Park didn't have the authority to do it. So,
true.
So, then, you know, then I heard an explanation of how it got changed back. And I think this is an example of a bigger picture of what's going on in the city of Marion. I think in the bigger picture, we have a problem here in Marion with people who are getting elected to office that have no experience or very little experience in their thing, what they're supposed to be doing, and how things get done. But they're wanting to get things done right. No, they're wanting to get things done. So at the expense of sometimes not doing things the right way, they're just trying to get things done. And I think that's in a lot of the areas. You know, they talked about the inexperience of the new council members not knowing how to do things, the inexperience in the mayor's office not knowing the proper procedures of doing certain things. And I think this is just an example where they didn't do it right because probably they didn't think about, wait a second, what is the right way to do this?
Well, here's the problem. Let's get to the car wrapping. Because
now we're talking about something else.
Now we're talking about, that's the park, and it is what it is. And right. Until we get to, I have filed a public information request to find out who actually changed this name. So I assume at some point we'll figure out who did that. Sounded to me earlier like Jason Schauber was saying it came from the administration. We'll find out.
And when you filed your Freedom of Information Act, you were standing in line behind the Marion Star and two other radio stations in town and a television station from Columbia. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they're all there. Yeah, it's a big, long line.
Yeah, everybody's covering it.
To say, you know, this bill, this basically, what do you want to call it? Basically, it's a... it's a bill. Let's call it a bill.
Invoice.
Make it simple. Invoice. It's an invoice. The invoice is for $23,709.10 for car and wall wrapping at City Hall. Now, the biggest things to note on this, 85 printed decals that say Love Our City, $15,300.
$15,000.
Which apparently you cannot put on police cars or fire engines or emergency equipment because that's not authorized. So I guess you just slap these on the city trucks and...
City trucks and garbage trucks.
Yeah. Do we have 85 of those?
Well...
Those are some expensive decals.
Yeah, 80... Whatever.
Well, you got to put two on per vehicle. So that, you know, one on the passenger door, one on the driver door. So, you know, so you only have to come up with 40 vehicles you have. Do we have 40 vehicles?
I would doubt it, but okay. Okay, maybe.
Okay.
Let's... you know what? They ordered them.
Okay.
Also, to wrap the new service director's office, Mr. Bodine, $4,250 to wrap his walls.
Okay.
Biggest expense on the bill was right there. And interestingly enough, Mr. Bodine, on the invoice, Mr. Bodine's company created this decal.
Isn't that convenient?
Interesting.
Interesting.
And this is from the car wrap factory. And on the invoice, now, if they do something for the engineer's office, they say engineer's office. If they do something for the mayor's office, they say mayor's office. When they did something for the service director's office, they said Mike's office.
Oh, Mike. Yeah. It just smells fishy. It just smells fishy.
Then let's add to it a little bit, since we're already here. He is getting about $40,000+ from Can-Do to work for them.
Now who, what is Can-Do?
That tells you something about Can-Do at this particular point. Bringing business to Marion.
Okay, so who runs Can-Do?
Gus Comstock. I believe it's a nonprofit.
Okay.
And a board.
Okay.
There's a board.
Okay.
Okay, so he's getting $40,000 from them, getting the service director's salary, which, by the way, also, he's getting paid more than was appropriated by city council. So we'll see how that all shakes out. And does he have any hand in this car wrap factory? We know he's worked with them in the past.
Well, he's a graphic designer, right?
He is. And he's also working on the Republicans' campaigns right now who are running for office.
I'm telling you, it smells bad. It smells fishy. But I think here again, it kind of goes back to...
And by the way, Mr. Bodine does not live in Marion.
This goes back to people wanting to do things and getting things done, and they just don't know. They don't seem to care about making sure it's done the right way.
I just don't understand. What do you think, Matt?
Oh, I'm with Pastor Craig here. It smells a little off. I don't know that, because, I mean, Mr. Bodine has some part, apparently, so it seems, in the
let's say he doesn't.
Company there.
Let's say he doesn't. $4,250 to write Love Our City on your walls?
That's still a lot. I mean...
That's an incredible amount.
I did the math on those decals, by the way.
$150.
Yeah, and it was like $150. It chalked up to about $150.
I think I'm
going to
open up a company.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. It just doesn't sound right. It just doesn't sound right.
Because I don't think there's any denial that he's getting over $80,000 in salary from the city. I don't think there's any denial that he's getting another $40,000 from Can-Do. And I certainly don't think there's any denial that he's working on political campaigns. I don't know what to the tune of what, but this man must not sleep.
I mean,
yeah.
Also, I don't know how 100% certain it was, but I mean, this morning Jason said that I'm not, like I said, I don't know if he was like saying it for certain or if it's just believed to be, but actually I think he said it was in the minutes. But he said that it was said that he gets a portion of every business that he sends to that company because he made the decals.
What?
Okay, so...
I was zoned out during that meeting
okay.
this morning. Interview
so
this morning.
Every customer that Mr. Bodine sends to that decal car wrap company, he gets some money for because he made the decals.
Yeah, I think I remember Jason saying something about because he was a designer.
Yeah, because he designed the decal.
Oh, right. So he's involved.
Right.
Roundabout with this car wrap factory, even if he doesn't own it.
Yes.
And again, there was no bid placed for this because now, by the way, that is illegal. I don't want to say that that's illegal because I believe it has to be over a $50,000 purchase for them to bid it out. So that's not a problem. But I think the problem is that the service director is benefiting from going with this company.
Right.
Yes.
Why would you do that? Let's just say you're Bill Collins, okay? Because if we're going to say everything that happens in the auditor's office stops with Miranda McGinnis, then we've got to say everything in the administrative part of that business.
Stop with Bill Collins.
There you go. Why would you do that?
Well, there's two reasons. One, because you don't care. And two, because you don't know. You don't know that it might present a problem, or you don't care that it might present a problem.
Is it a little bit of both, or is it just one in your opinion?
I think it's probably a little bit of both. I mean, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt by not saying that it's definitely one or the other.
But you know what? I felt this at the beginning of the year with the whole Miranda Bill Collins situation. I just felt that the auditor situation and the city getting fined and possibly legal matters being dealt with there, that they are concentrating an awful lot on that, and it's overshadowing everything else that's going on that might smack of impropriety at this moment. And I don't know why that's happening, but I think somebody else might. Why don't you take one city council meeting? We're aware of what you think of the auditor. We're aware of what you. Let that lay for just one meeting and maybe address some of this.
Yeah, I think so. Because that, you know, their efforts were so focused on something that this was going on. And like you said with Jason this morning, this invoice was from January 29th.
Right.
Which means 2 months ago, there was things going on that were looking suspicious.
And I don't, if Miranda is under investigation by the prosecutor, you're just going to have to wait to see how that pops out. I mean, I'm sorry that it is that way. I'm sorry that you feel the auditor's office is in that kind of shape. But, I mean, what can you do? Do we need to keep berating the auditor every single week? We're completely aware of how you feel about her. We're completely aware you have no confidence in her. But do you have confidence in your mayor right now? Do you have confidence in your service director right now? Because I don't hear anything about that besides Ayers Ratliff pointing out the conflict of interest with Can Do.
It's like they've got tunnel vision.
It really, and it's looking kind of silly at this point, right, to sit in a 3.5-hour meeting and they smack the auditor around for pretty much 2.5 hours of this, and nothing happens with this. And again, I'm not saying that the some of this is legal. Some of this I don't know about.
Right. Somebody should be paying attention to that to determine what, if anything, is not legal.
But has the lone Democrat and the lone Republican who is not willing to side with the Democrats just said, you know what, we could bring this up every meeting and it's not going to go anywhere because those other seven are not going to vote against the mayor or the service director, so what can you do?
All you can do is keep bringing it up if you think it's important enough.
But you know what? I think at some point, if you violate the ethics rules, that would go to the state.
Right. Right. I would think.
Yeah. So there you are. And also the mayor. And again, if Bill, it was in the hospital. We want him to get well and be well. But apparently there's some sort of communication problem there because he needs to relay that so the council president can stand in his place. That's the procedure. Mm-hmm. Why that wasn't done, nobody seems to know.
I don't think they know what they're doing. I don't think they really, really know what they're doing.
You know what's in, and listen, I am not in defense of Glenn Coble here at all, but could he have done a worse job?
I don't think so.
I mean, because it was always poised to me during that election that, yes, neither one of them has any legislative experience, but Bill knows the city.
What a compliment you could pay to a guy like Glenn is saying, well, he couldn't do any worse.
I know, it's quite a compliment, isn't it? I'm curious at this point because, listen, I was the one who was on the air saying, this is the first time in a half century nobody's coming from city council to do this job. I don't know how you become the CEO of the city and you've never had a job in city government.
So, I'm going to ask you something. You don't have to answer it. So, how did you become aware of this situation? Did somebody tip you off?
Yes.
Because I
didn't just dream that up on my own.
I know. Well, that was kind of like, you know, how did you become aware of that?
Oh, absolutely. It was absolutely a tip. But, and obviously you know this, the reason I get those tips is because they're off the record, and they will remain off the record, and I would never tell anybody how they came to be. I don't even tell people around here. Mm-hmm. I think some people think you do because you're friends, but that's a journalist 101. You don't tell anybody who your off-the-record source is, because if it ever even gets back to them that you were even remotely talking about it, that person's gone.
It's kiss it goodbye.
Yeah. So, no, I didn't tell Jason. I haven't told anybody. But, no, it's tips. And God bless those people who do that, because they have to know I'm being tipped. I mean,
right.
But they don't know who, and they never will. Right. So there you go. But, you know, I've been tipped on other things. I've been tipped on things going off in the county. So, you know, I will never use the person's name. And that is why, listen, Watergate wouldn't have happened without sources.
Right.
So there you go. And that's why you have, see, this, Matt, is a very interesting thing here.
Pay attention.
Journalism 101. Here
take
it comes.
Take notes.
This is why an impartial journalist, it's I've always said, on air, it's about getting interviews from both sides, and it is. But also, if you are sliding one way, you will not get a source. They're never going to trust you because they know you're aligned with that thinking and that party and that side. Why would they ever trust you?
I mean, I don't know. That sounds like that doesn't make any. That sounds like tribal thinking.
On behalf of the person who's giving their opinion.
Yeah, that's the whole reason why, you know, Scott's saying you've got to remain impartial. Because if you aren't, the one side that's tribal, and you're not a part of it, you're not going to get any information.
Right. Like, for example, and again, I'm just going to use a big name that people know, and I honestly don't, I don't want to use the mayor's name again, because we've just done that. So let's say you are leaning toward the Republican side, and you are siding with them on air, and there's a tip that Jim Jordan has done something wrong. Do you think they're coming to you with that tip? When you've sided with him and defended him and give him the easy interviews and go after the Democrats?
I don't know why they wouldn't. I'd still talk about it.
I'll tell you why they wouldn't. No, they don't. Because they think you're going to tell him, you're going to reveal who they are, and that's the end for them. Because a tip doesn't always mean the end of your career. The tip means, and you know what? A lot of times the tip people are people who have access to these things. So they are very close in their livelihood a lot of times. So they really got to trust you.
I'm not throwing people under the bus.
But why wouldn't you? Why are you giving your opinion then? You know?
I don't think that logic makes sense.
See, I think that makes perfect sense.
I don't have to throw people under the bus to give my opinion. I can say that somebody, in my opinion, is doing bad, but I don't have to, like...
In the political climate we're in now...
Throwing somebody under the bus is like throwing somebody under the bus to defend yourself. I have nothing to defend.
In the political climate we have now, if you say something negative about somebody, you know, that's an opinion, you know, it's going to stick with you, and it's going to affect who talks to you and who doesn't talk to you. You can't take sides.
Just got from a listener there, Mary, thinks I should invite Mayor Schertzer to the next council meeting.
Tell him to bring a sleeping bag.
Yeah. They're running a little longer than when you were there. But I don't know. You know, you don't understand me why somebody wouldn't come to you with a tip if they felt you were not impartial.
They got to trust you.
They have to trust you.
They have to trust you.
I just... Just, yeah, no.
By the way, look up Watergate, period. I mean, the man who was known as Deep Throat, who we now learn was the number two in command at the FBI, Mark Felt, worked under Richard Nixon. He was number two at the FBI. But he was giving information and not so much giving. He was saying, this is right, this is wrong, to a reporter who essentially was reporting news that brought down a president, caused the president to resign, the only president to resign. If Deep Throat, whose identity stayed hidden for more than 30 years, if he thought that Woodward or Bernstein was pro-Richard Nixon, you think he'd be tipping them off? Hey, my boss is crooked. Here you go.
You see, but I don't know why. Look, as a media person, what kind of sense would it make for me to receive a tip, Republican or Democrat, right? Say I, for instance, you said I'd like, for the sake of this, you said I sided with the Republicans, okay?
Right.
If they gave me information that was looking bad on a Republican, why would I, as a media person, not report on this? It's just, overall, it's a better story than me just being like, hey man, by the way.
And your friends are going to shun you. And
they're
also,
not my friends.
It doesn't appear that way when you side all the time with somebody.
Who's siding all the time with anybody?
A lot of people do. They give their opinion very strongly. Like, I don't think you're ever going to find Glenn Kobol praising too many Republicans. I can. There's some that he's praised. I cannot say it's never happened, but
he'll never have a good thing to say about Jim Jordan.
No. You think somebody's going to?
Have a good thing to say about Donald Trump.
Nope. Those are not his favorites.
When Donald Trump got elected the first time, I defended Donald Trump. I have adamantly come out against Donald Trump at this point in time.
See, and that's fine. That's your style. But all I'm saying is sources are not going to tend to go to people who have strong opinions on things that they're involved in.
Why? Who else would you go to?
The person who's impartial.
Okay. Sitting here in this room, hypothetical, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has a really good tip. Let's face it, Matt. They're not going to go to you, and they're not going to go to me because we've been very opinionated in what we've said. They're going to go to Scott because Scott, and, you know, reality is Scott has his own opinions. He has his political opinions, but he doesn't express them.
Right. But, you know, of course, you vote. I hope you vote. I think voting is very important. But it's also about just your feeling on what journalism is. And again, it's your feeling. It's not a right or wrong. My feeling on journalism is I doesn't matter in an interview. I can tell you what I feel, but I'll tell you tomorrow. I'll be here tomorrow. The guest won't. And the term guest means guest. That's my feeling. Your feeling might be different. But doesn't make you wrong and me right. But I'm going to get more tips than you are. That's just the reality of it. Go ahead, caller.
What's the meaning of this word impartial that you speak of?
I know. No such thing in so many worlds, is there?
No.
You know what, though?
I've never even heard of it.
You know what makes me sad, though, over the years? We've taken impartial people to the best of their degree and painted them as being partial just because we did not like something they reported on. And I'm not for that.
So you think you can be completely objective and impartial, Scott? You think that is possible?
About certain things? Yes.
Yeah, I'll
tell you why. Because I know there are certain issues from people who've listened to me for 22 years now who they have no idea where I stand. There are some people who think they know, and they've played their little games, but they've never heard me say flat out, definitively, one way or the other.
So is that the word of the day, impartial?
Well, I think it should be. I mean, but do you agree with the tip conversation?
Oh, totally. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, why do you think Matt doesn't comprehend this idea?
So he thinks that you would just give it to any journalist?
Yeah, somebody who expresses their opinion every week.
Not just any journalist. So, and, like, you would give it to... So, like, say I worked at, I don't know, some big network, right? I was partial. I had a side, and I had a side.
Yep.
I would get this tip over somebody who wasn't.
Washington Post is not the biggest newspaper in the world. The Washington, Woodward and Bernstein were not the most famous journalists in the world. Why'd we go to them?
I mean, the Washington Post was certainly they're not the biggest, but I mean, they're certainly not small.
How did they become that way? Watergate, 1974, Woodward and Bernstein and Ben Bradley and Katherine Graham.
They're not
the New York Times. Why didn't they go to the New York Times?
You're not going to go to somebody that nobody's going to hear.
What's nobody going to hear? Bill Cosby did his first prison interview right here, and a lot of people heard it by the time it was over.
Did I say here?
No, no, I'm just saying, I mean, what are you talking about? What's?
I was confused.
We're not exactly in D.C. I mean, what do you want? I mean, I guess I'm confused on the logic.
So, you have a bigger, you have interviewed more people than people who work at the bigger
right.
studio. So, like, you have a bigger platform. I mean, I guess they have a bigger platform, but more people are going to tune in to listen to you.
Right.
So, you have the catalog.
So, you're talking about people in general, then? Like, you wouldn't have the catalog, so you wouldn't get them, even though we're on the same airwave?
Yeah.
In some cases, probably true, but also, it isn't going to help if you have a very stern opinion if you want to do those stories. Am I wrong, caller?
No. I mean, look at, who was it, Edward Snowden, when he did his release of information of all the corruption within our government. He sought out The Guardian.
There you go, The Guardian. Usually you don't pick the big publication because you're afraid they're going to turn on you or not do it at all.
Well, that's why you got to do your homework into who has any type of integrity. And that's a rare commodity in any aspect of our culture today.
Listen, I understand why people give their opinion. I don't condemn, and there are a lot of journalists I guess they're not really journalists, more commentators.
Radio personality, Scott.
What's that?
You're a radio personality.
Yeah, I didn't. So says the Marion Star. I graduated from Marion radio host to Marion radio personality now.
All right. We're moving on.
I'm no longer a person, but I'm a personality.
Moving
personality.
On.
Personality.
Wow, local radio personality.
I know. Isn't that something? I didn't know I was a personality.
Wow.
What does that even mean?
What does that mean?
I don't know. What's the difference, caller, between a host and a personality?
I guess a host implies that you have a guest. Maybe a personality is just somebody that talks to themselves.
Well, I do that some mornings.
Sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
But you usually have your lineup of guests.
Well, but you know what? Look at this week. PETA on Monday, Miranda McGinnis, Independent, Tuesday, Jason Schaber, Republican, Friday. Just look at it. I hardly think you're going to find a whole, Mayor Schertzer, heavy Democrat, last Wednesday. I don't think you're going to find too many trends. Tracy Richardson on Wednesday, 2 weeks ago, heavy Republican. Steve Thomas, heavy Democrat, the following morning. Where are you going to find... See, this is why people don't know which way I sway, because I think all those interviews were completely fair.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think that's why you get some of those interviews, like the Cosby interview.
I think it is. And lucky, you know, I've been lucky in that way. But also, as I was saying the other day, and again, this is Journalism 101, I have come to realize, and the next time I speak to a journalism class, which I've been lucky enough to do over the years, I'm going to say this. Broadcasting in particular, much above written media, is about two things. It's about talent, and it's about persistence. Now, if you have a lot of talent, you will do okay, but you might not have the best guess, but because you're talented, people might listen. If you have a lot of persistence but no talent, people might listen because you have good guess, but you got no... Talent's going to hurt you. You got to have both. You'll survive one way or the other, but you won't prosper. You got to have both.
And when you have both, you go to Philadelphia and you take a photo in front of the Liberty. Liberty Bell wearing a bow tie.
And then that becomes the picture that they run with your obituary.
Of the local radio personality.
Local radio personality dead. And here's a picture of him at the Liberty Bell, which means nothing, but that's all you need.
In a bow tie.
In a bow tie. Purple bow tie.
I did Google it, Scott.
Did you see it?
I did. I saw it.
Yeah, so. It's a good picture, though. You gotta give him credit for that.
At least it was a bow tie and it wasn't Botox.
And they've run that story. They've run that picture like on 3 or 4 different stories. Anytime they want a picture of me, they put me up in front of the Liberty Bell. And I think, what does this have to do with broadcasting? Don't you have a picture of me with a microphone?
Don't you think that Scott should have a whole big stack of those photos that he keeps in the trunk of his car?
Autograph.
And then he should just autograph them and hand them out randomly to strangers?
Hey, listen, I'll be in a tux. I got measured for a tux for this whole Hall of Fame thing coming up next week. I'm going to get some pictures in this tuxedo.
Is it, like, bright orange? Like Dumb and Dumber?
No. This is a velvet sports coat. It's the whole thing.
Are you getting a limo?
You know, I don't know how that works. I know they're picking me up. I know they're sending a driver. It's not Uber.
Oh, wow.
You had no idea. Listen, I am a radio personality, you've got to remember.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, radio hosts take Uber, personalities get driven cars.
Personalities get limos.
That's right. That's the way that all works. I know, it's the way it goes. Just some days. Like earlier on, I think people are smart enough to know that, you know, we're just having a little fun with the Donald Trump impersonator, and we've been having a lot of fun. But you know what? We do that with Harry Carey, and nobody says you hate baseball. So I just think that's the way. Personality is to be kidded around with.
God, that guy is, like, spot on.
Oh, yeah, you know.
He is fantastic.
He really is good.
Yeah, First time I heard him, I couldn't even. It was so good.
Look, I don't know how you look. The first time, Scott told me he had Donald Trump on the radio before I was on the radio with you guys, and I was like, no, you didn't. I didn't believe him, and then I heard the Donald Trump thing, and I still didn't believe it. I mean, it sounds kind of like Donald Trump, but it doesn't sound...
This guy's spot on.
No, he is not spot on.
He is not spot on. I was not brushing John when he was on. The first time I had him on, I don't remember why, but I didn't say his name. I just introduced him like I do, here's President Trump, and we did the thing, and then we ended the interview. And people thought I had him on, and I thought, he can't do that. That's not right.
He sounded this morning. He was spot on.
I think if you asked him some of those questions, I think the answers are similar. And he has no idea what I'm going to ask him.
Right.
You know, it's weird.
Part of me thinks that you know, the real Donald Trump is just stealing his ideas. I'll say something and then Donald Trump will just do it. Like, you know, I think Donald Trump might just be listening. You know, that's not a bad idea.
It's very strange. It's very strange. So, impartial journalism, do you think we have a lot of it left?
Heck no.
Oh, heck no. Okay. Don't hold back.
I can count on one finger the amount of impartial journalists, and I'm probably talking to one.
Well, I'm glad you're going to give me the finger.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, while we got you on the line, because I don't know if you'll be calling in tonight, what's going on in your neck of the woods, all sweet and friendly Caledonia? I'm reading things on social media that a city council's fighting with the Make Caledonia Better group. What's going on over there?
Yeah, I'm kind of entangled in the
You're in this.
I am.
Oh, you're not impartial?
No.
Oh.
I am one of the least impartial people.
Well, fill us in. I mean, we're a news station here. We got a couple minutes. Marion's falling apart. What's going on over in Caledonia?
Well, Caledonia has quite a few historic properties that are,
dilapidated.
Dilapidated, and there are efforts to try to secure some grant funds to properly renovate and rehabilitate and preserve some of those properties, because downtown Caledonia recently became an official, like, recognized registered historical district. So that enables once you get that recognition, then you can apply for certain funds from the state in order to, you know, renovate properties located within the district. So we have a couple properties that are in the process of, they've already secured some grant funds and they're trying to complete the renovations. Well, there's certain individuals in Caledonia that I guess are getting a little bit tired of waiting on those renovations to progress.
And they're on city council?
Yeah, and they want some action to be taken.
Tear the buildings down.
Well, there's they want action to be taken. So we'll see what happens.
Action to be taken, what does that mean?
Either if they are truly a nuisance or defined as a nuisance, you know, potentially to demolish. There are other conversation about putting an X in front of the building if it has been identified as dangerous, but not so much that it's a public nuisance and needs to be demolished. You would just put an X, and then if there was a fire in that building, then the fire department would not attempt to go in to do anything.
You know what? I think all ways into Caledonia all roads should have an X on them. Just be careful. Be careful.
How do you get access to the Olentangy, Scott, to dump all your bodies?
Well, I would just go past the X. I'd probably go, what does that mean? That's like the whole merge sign on Center Street that's written on the road. How am I supposed to see that? You wrote the merge sign on the road. You didn't put a sign up. I tell you, if I am ever in a fender bender up there where I rear end somebody in front of Papa John's, I am going to berate the cop. I'll end up in jail because I say, who came up with the stupid idea to put the merge sign on the road? How am I supposed to be looking at that? Snow-covered road.
The new service director.
The new service director. Hey, can you get that new service director to get a sign over here for about $1,100? We can fix this right away.
Oh, there's no way they could do it for $11.
No. $42 maybe.
Three times that, right.
Hey, thanks.
All right, see.
All right, so we've got Caledonia. Buildings are dilapidated. Bucyrus. They want to do away with the Bratwurst Festival funding. Marion, we got service directors making buku money, and the auditor is...
It's collapsing around here.
Hi, yay, yay. Let's just shut down the state of Ohio. Shut it down. Try another day.
Put an X at all the entrances.
Pastor Craig's got a great show coming up next hour. Easter and Good Friday, The Focus, starting at 1:15, just moments from now. Matt has got football tonight at 10:15 p.m., and Carrington and Matt and I will be along talking, I'm sure, about Philadelphia, 7 days away, starting tonight at 8. So there you go. For this very interesting episode, happy Easter. Happy Good Friday?
Yeah.
Happy Good Friday. Yesterday, happy Monday, Tuesday, all that whole thing.
Monday, Thursday.
Oh, it was Thursday, wasn't it?
Gosh. Monday.
I celebrated on Tuesday. Maybe that was the problem there. Monday, Tuesday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. That's how that all works. All right, for the Pastor Matt, this is Scott Spears. Oh, man. Heading for the dugout.
And the woman would say, well, of course. But my grandmother never got flustered about anything. She was a wonderful, wonderful woman and a great